God, smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. And God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. And God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
Please notice hymn 39 and praise him for scripture reading. Page 39.
I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ's love to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where till no sorrows can be found. And I receive a mansion, robe and crown. Oh Lord, I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. There love will always abound. Let me
throng surround. Lord, please preserve a match. Robe and crown, the weather that thrills always fair, the sunshine day and night, no cold nor rain will fall them, for the sunshine ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments, I'll just wrap my robe around. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown. Oh Lord, I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. Their love will always abide. Just let me your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe and crown. My head is bound and it's bloody now from the work that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown. Oh Lord, I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. Their love will always surround.
Mansion, robe, and crown. Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, will you please turn to the book of Jonah? I'll be reading the first and second verse of the first chapter of Jonah. And it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." May the Lord have a blessing on the hearers and doers of his word.
Please mark hymn 605 for the song of encouragement. For the speaker of the hour, hymn 352. Hymn 605 be the song of encouragement. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right, when He calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right, when He calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I be somewhere listening, I be somewhere listening, I be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I be somewhere listening, I be somewhere listening, I be somewhere listening for my name. And my robe is white when he calls me. And my robe is white, I will hear. And my robe is white when he calls me. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, somewhere listening, somewhere listening for my name. Good morning, everyone. Peter said it, and I believe it. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Good to be able to be up and about and be in the house of the Lord. It's even greater to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth and to please Him in the things that we do. This morning, as you notice, if you have your bulletin, the title for our lesson this morning is Rise and Shine. Rise and Shine. It reminds me of a children's song, and I thought about that, and I used to love to hear them children sing that song. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. And you know, though the children sing it, it's for all of us to do, to rise up and shine for God and give Him the glory in the things that we're doing. I thought about Jonah when I thought about this particular topic, because God called Jonah and He said, Jonah, rise and shine. As you began to look at verse number 2 in the text that's written here for us, it said this: Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So here, in order for Jonah to shine before God, he had to preach the gospel, or he had to cry out to that particular city. So God called him and he said, Jonah, go rise and shine. One of the things that we find here, and we are not talking about this particular part, but Jonah is the one in the Bible who is picked as a likeness of Jesus. Because on one occasion when people ask for a sign, we find Jesus said there will no sign be given you except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So here we have a likeness of Christ in Jonah also, but here the call is to rise and shine. The question is, when we call, what are we going to do? When we call to rise and shine, can God depend on me? When we began to look at this, Nineveh was a great city. And you know, according to the historical facts that we could find, the city of Nineveh had about 600,000 people in it at that particular time. So here, Jonah wasn't asked to go do a home Bible study. He was asked to go preach to 600,000 people because wickedness has overtaken this great city. We also know that he called them to go down there and he said, go cry to them. Go beg them to repent because I don't want to destroy them. And so when the Lord called Jonah, let's look. Jonah rose up, but he rose up and he went in the wrong
direction. Instead of Jonah going where God called him to go, he went in the opposite direction another way. He said, I'm going to rise, but I don't want to do what you called me to do. So he went altogether in a different direction. Bible says Jonah went out and he bought him a ticket. He went down to Joppa and he bought him a ticket to Tarsus, and he boarded that ship. And not only that, he says, I'm through with you, God. I'm going to go down the bottom of the ship and I'm going to go to sleep. So he went down into the bottom of the ship there, and he went to sleep down there. And as he went to sleep, God called a great wind to rise over the sea, and all of a sudden the ship was being tossed back and forth. All of this problem was there, and then the mariners, they began to try to row. But they couldn't roll their way out, and they even took everything that was on the ship and they threw it overboard. And after they had lightened the load, they still couldn't. And while they were doing this, they saw this slugger down in the bottom of the ship, fast asleep. They woke him up and they asked him who he was, and he inferred that he worshiped Jehovah God. And they asked him, why are you down here with all of the trouble that we're in and you sleeping like nothing is going on? And finally, after they inquired of him, he finally let them know that he was the cause of the great wind that was out there. Because, you see, God said, rise and shine. He rose, but he went in the wrong direction. He didn't rise for God. He rose for himself. So then they asked Jonah, they say, well, what can we do to cause the sea to be calm? And Jonah said, if you take me up and throw me overboard, the sea will become calm. Well, these men, now they feared him. You got a man of God, he know why the sea is raging, and he know how to calm it down, and now you just ask us to throw you overboard. And then they began to pray to God, but they threw him overboard, and as soon as they threw him overboard, the sea became calm, but God prepared a great fish, and it came, and it ate Jonah. You see, when you rise and go in the wrong direction, you could not eat fish, but be eaten by fish. So he was swallowed up by this fish, and all of a sudden he found himself down in that fish, and the Bible refers to it as the bellies of hell. And then he cried out to God. You see, God said, go cry. He cried, but he didn't cry to the people. Now he's crying to God for himself because he failed to rise and shine like God had called him to rise and to shine. He cried out to God, and after 3 days and three nights, God calls this great fish to go and spit him up on dry land. And then after he called him to go spit him up on dry land, and then he says, rise and shine. And this time when he said, rise and shine, Jonah rose and he went to do what God called him to do. And as best I can tell, the size of the city and the places that he was supposed to preach in, it would have taken him 3 days to preach to this many people, and that probably had to do with the way that the synagogue was situated in that particular city or the meeting places. But the Bible said this time when God said, rise and shine, Jonah accomplished that job in one day. So evidently he had himself going in the right direction, and he was able to do that. So he rose up and he shined for God. And though not specifically written in the Bible, let's see if we can take what we've just heard, rise and shine, and let's see if we can make up a scripture for us. Christians, rise and shine. And I wrote these words for us. And the word of the Lord came to us Christians saying, arise, go develop spiritually, so you may live as a faithful Christian. Be a spiritual example among all the wickedness of the world and be worthy of heaven at the end of your physical life. Now, just as Jonah was called to rise and shine, this is where we are called to rise and shine. Rise up. Live the kind of life. Be the right spiritual example. Develop spirituality in your life. Live in the wickedness of the world as a Christian, but be there and let the world know that God's people can still function in the middle of search turmoil, and still be all that they ought to be, and then finally in the end, show forth that there's peace in life and be able to go on to heaven, rise and shine. Now, just as Jonah was called, we are also called by God. Jonah had some problems with rebellion and doing what God called him to do. But in the end, Jonah repented and he fulfilled the Lord's call. Now, what we hope that based on our call, we'll just go do it. We hope that we won't go and rebel. We hope we'll just go do it and not fall prey to this particular thing and not do what God called us to do. He says, rise and shine. We know the world that we live in. But the question is, I need to ask myself, do I shine as a light of God in this world filled with darkness? He has called me to rise and shine. He has called me to develop spiritually. But as we've said about so many things, if we don't understand what it is, how can we do what God has called us to do? If we don't understand what spiritual is, how can we develop spiritually? Because sometimes there's such a closeness in understanding what's physical life and what's spiritual life, and just what I need to learn and what I need to do to grow from the one to the other and learn not to say, well, I'm only human. Because, yes, we're only human, but we're human filled with the Spirit of God, with the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God. And therefore, we need to learn this so we can grow in such a way that we can rise up and shine and give God the glory, glory, because we're children of the Lord. This particular word, spiritual, I found a definition that I think fits it very well, because it's just not a word that it's just not a word that's just used, because in our religious world today, it's used too loosely. But the best definition that I could find for spiritual is this: created, directed, and controlled by the Spirit of God. Created, directed, and controlled by the Spirit of God. When we were buried in water baptism, we were created. We were created in that Spirit of God. When we go to God's Word and let it be our guide for all that we do, barring any idea or any thought we have ourselves, and let God direct us, we are being directed. And then when we take all that we've learned from our baptism and also the power of the Word, and when we let ourselves be filled with that power, then we develop the ability to be controlled in everything that we do by that Spirit, and then we practice and we do things that are spiritual. Now, that's enough. We can go home today. If we just learn that, if we learn how to quantify it, and then how to practice in our lives. You see, that means that when I mess up, I got to go to God and say, God, I got to go back to your Word, but I want to learn what it is I need to have done to be controlled, and then I want the power of the Spirit to help me to be controlled, that I might do it your way instead of my way. You know the old adage, I'm just got a good mind to lay my religion down. That's not a part of what we're talking about. You see, in our era, we always got to pick it up and do it like God has called us to do. You see, what other people call cowardice, we call the power of the Spirit of God. And it takes so much greatness, even like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be controlled by the Spirit instead of allowing ourselves to fall away and be caught into something different. And if you email me, I'll send you what I just said in writing, that particular definition. Be glad to do it. When we look at this whole thing, we find this. We find that we want to be controlled in every situation. Now you see, Jesus was controlled in every situation. Even at his lowest hour, he said, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You see, this is what we are talking about. This is being controlled by the Spirit of God. The ability that no matter wherever, where we are, we're able to look up and say, but God, give me the power to do it your way and not my way. God, give me the power to not let them break me down, but to stand up and be all that you called me to do. This is what God has said. Rise and shine. And you see, sometimes our shining doesn't look like shining to everybody else, but that's not who we're trying to shine for. What got Jonah in trouble? He tried to shine for Jonah, but it didn't look good until he shined for the Lord. And so therefore, we're called to do this particular thing. There are a couple of scriptures here that I think gives us some direction of how we can follow the Spirit of God. The first scripture that we're going to use is found in 1 Corinthians. The chapter number is 10. The verse numbers are 1 through 5. Most of us, we have heard this particular scripture before, but I think it gives us a feel. And this is even how they followed after God's Spirit, even in the Old Testament. But as the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said this in 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, here is what got them there. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And then he finished in verse 5 by saying this, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And since God wasn't well pleased with most of them, and I contend that whatever was written aforetime, according to the scripture, it was written for our learning. So the only way God is going to be pleased with me is I'm going to have to rise and shine. God called us. You see, I've always said this. There was no argument at the Red Sea. There was no argument down there. You didn't have anybody saying, well, do I really need to do this? You see, with the situation that was there, they needed to go through the baptism of the cloud and in the sea to be able to get there. And at that particular time, they all drank. They all ate the same spiritual food. They followed Christ's direction. They all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. They drank of Christ. They went down and they came up on the other side. We didn't read anything about some said, well, I'm just going to stay over here and let the Egyptian Pharaoh and his army take me in. We didn't read about that in the book. Came up on the other side, and the same place that those who followed after God were saved, that same situation destroyed all of those who weren't risers and shiners for our God. All of Pharaoh's army was destroyed in the same place that all of God's children were saved in. They came up, they went down, and they all drowned there in the midst of the sea. The last verse that we have relative to this morning is found in Romans chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 5. When we began to look at this, we find now a New Testament example of how we're supposed to rise and shine and develop in the Spirit. How we need to understand our creation, our direction, and then learn to live according to the control factor that's written therein. But there in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 5, this is again what was written in New Testament time. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Now you got to understand we're talking about being developed in the Spirit. If we live according to the flesh, our mind is set on fleshly things. Now, we can be created or baptized and not be spiritual. Or at least we can be put through the form in the water and not be spiritual. You see, unless this whole peace operate upon us, it's not going to work. Just getting baptized is not good enough. We have to also be directed, and we have to also be controlled to get there, or else we're minding fleshly things. On one occasion, when Peter said, Lord, this ought not to happen to you, you know what God said to Peter? He said, you don't even have your mind on the things of God. You see what I'm saying? You see, so we can be here and not have our mind on things of God. So those who live or follow according to the flesh, they set their mind on things of the flesh. But I love the next part. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, what I got to watch is this. When I'm at my worst hour, am I going to react to a fleshly thing or a spiritual thing? A fleshly thing says, I wouldn't take that. A spiritual thing says, I would please God at all costs. This is what we have to understand. Now, which one has the most power? Looking good in the eyes of men or pleasing God and Him giving you the blessings that you deserve. Because you were able to do it. You see, sometimes it's like this. I don't want to take it. But I'm not willing to see that God wants to show me that He can help me take it. You see what I mean? You see, God has prepared something for me. And I keep fighting it. But He said, all you got to do is let me. You let me. I'll see to it. That you can take it. I'll see to it. When we read all of these different stories, that's what He finally proved to mankind. I'll take care of it. You just gotta set your mind on things of the Spirit. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. What if you die and end up in heaven? What if? See, what if you die and end up in heaven? What's wrong with that? You see, we're so worried about dying. But what if you end up in heaven? Then we're exactly where we want to be. He finishes this by saying this. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. And you got to remember, we got something in us that no other being has. We got a spirit. So you see, when that which does not have a spirit is dead, is done. But when that which has a spirit is dead, is not done. So therefore, we need to look for life and peace. And you know, peace there could be the opposite of torment, eternal torment. We need to see that peace in that particular text. And he finished saying this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or I like to say it like this, the carnal mind is an enemy against God. So if I'm carnal minded, I'm God's enemy. I need to understand that. And you know, first time Walter preached for us in Fayetteville, His topic was, you don't want to fight God. See, he didn't know. I remember that. That's been, them little boys, there wasn't none of them bigger than Matthew. They're about that tall. We've been in the old building. You don't want, may not have no Bible, Walter. You don't want to fight God. You see, if you end up an enemy of God, you're going to lose. Now, that's just straight to the point. You're going to lose. So he comes back and he says this. The carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to God's law. You see that control part? You see that directed and controlled part? See the direction from the book and the control of doing it, that's our subjectivity to God's law. And so he come back and said, it is not subject to God's law. And then I like this. Nor indeed can be subject, or can it be subject to God's law, because it's not in the same arena. So unless I get a spiritual mind, I'm not even in the house. Now, we're not talking about where you're physically sitting. We're talking about where you're spiritually sitting. See, unless I get a spiritual mind, I'm not even in the house. Spiritually. And then he finishes these words. And we're going to go to the house. So then, those who are in the flesh can not please God. Do you know how powerful that self-explanation is? God calls. Christian, rise up and shine. Develop yourself. Live as an example in this wicked world. And prepare to make heaven your home. Rise and shine. You see, we have many scriptures in there. But these two are powerful enough to point us on the way. We got to eat spiritual food. Y'all know about that? We got to drink spiritual drink. Y'all know about that? It comes in the book too. Drink in the book. Drink the book. Y'all remember one of the prophets saying he told me to eat the book? The book was bitter. Remember that? You see, you eat this book gets bitter sometimes. But we got to do it. So rise and shine. If you want hope, you got to be in Christ Jesus. That's the only place that there is hope. To get it, we got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is this big fancy picture that happened from before time as we know it, all the way down to Christ dying upon the cross. And then the Apostle Paul talks about it as how Christ died, how he was buried, and how he rose the third day. All of this is according to the scripture. And then he talks about if we keep these things, or if we obey these things, and then we find throughout the Holy Writ how we need to hear this gospel and believe it, repent of our sins. Why? All of this wouldn't have been necessary if we could have done it without Jesus. Wouldn't have been necessary. But since we couldn't do it without Jesus, it's necessary. Then we need to repent and say, I can't make it, I need Jesus. Confess. What do you confess? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Y'all know this morning we kept talking about those lifeless gods. This is a God full of life. We also read from a word full of life. The word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You can change the word quick to living, whatever you want to. But this is how it is. And then we need to confess, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Then be buried in water baptism. And I've said this before. If cloud and sea baptism say, if it will say, no questions asked. Now, when they ran up there, they ran right off in there, right across. Right? Cloud and sea baptism say, water baptism will also say. As a matter of fact, we have baptism does also now save us. It's written there. So you see, when God called, And you see, we have an army, an enemy army behind us, just like Israel did. We just so complacent, we don't see it. But the enemy army is pushing us. And if the enemy army was pushing them and they rushed right off in, that baptism came up safe on the other side. And that's an example to us to realize. As God saved them then, and he stopped the enemy, God will save us now and stop the enemy. But we got to believe it. We got to act upon it. So if you're here, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, it's the only hope. We beg you to obey that gospel of Jesus Christ by coming to him, obeying him, and putting him on in water baptism. If you're here and you're not rising and shining like you ought to, then we beg you, rise up and shine. Give God the glory. Do something, change something, fix something, but give God the glory. Today is the day that the fish may spit us up. And as soon as the fish spit us up on the other side, we need to do like Jonah, make up lost time and give God the glory. If you're here, God said, come just like you are, and we beg you, come to Jesus right now while we stand, while we say.
Because